Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Jim Taylor on ministering to morally wounded veterans.
My book is focused towards the clergy in local churches to say, you have the answer. You have Christ. You have a way of helping somebody come back from a moral injury and to live a life valuable to the community.
Jim Taylor, next. Although most church leaders honor veterans, many may not truly understand issues which affect some returning from war. Chaplain and military veteran Dr. Jim Taylor wants to help pastors and congregations understand moral injury and how veterans can be helped to find grace, peace, and forgiveness. He's author of Moral Injury, Arming Pastors to Help Veterans Battle Soul Wounds Caused by Military Service. Here's Spencer Dahlke.
How did your time as a chaplain for Veterans Affairs, did you ever, presumably you weren't ever deployed with the military, or maybe you were?
No, Veteran Affairs is just for caring for those who were in the military and are no longer in the military. I was deployed in that sense of the word back on when I was serving in active duty in the military as a Navy, electrician on submarines. And we went to places I can't talk about, like start going under the ice in the North Pole, like, going to theaters where they don't want the enemy to know or the adversary to know that submarines are in the area. As you may have seen in the news, where a sub sunk a ship for the first time since World War II in recent days. That's the first time a torpedo has been used since World War II. But we're always out there and available. And my experience was during Cold War, so the threat of nuclear war was imminently present throughout my active duty time. But then I shifted into ministry with the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Tell us a little bit about your experience as a chaplain for Veterans Affairs. What has that really looked like? And perhaps that experience prompted you to write this book?
Oh, certainly so. Certainly had a big part in it. One of the stories I tell in the book, which kind of sums up what you're asking, I hope, is what after a number of years as a chaplain, visiting chaplains in the main hospital, I was asked to take over a PTSD group. And a PTSD group are those folks who are struggling with PTSD, obviously. And my first day going in as the facilitator for that group, these gentlemen who were World War II and Korean War veterans looked at me strangely, because previously their facilitator was a psychologist, but I had been asked to take over because the psychology department was changing the way they did things. And they asked me, okay, chap, what gives you the right to be in our group? Significant question. And I said, well, I'm prior military, just like you. I have served for a number of years, and I'm also the son of a World War II veteran who was a prisoner of war in World War II in Germany. And I have lived a life of what I would say he suffered from. I would say he suffered from moral injury, but he suffered from PTSD. So I'm hoping that as we join together, you can learn from me what it was like for your children, because I doubt very seriously that you talk to your children very often about what you did in the service. I know my dad never talked to me about it, but you can understand where that left your children by having me. So together we can grow together. I can learn about my dad. You can learn about your children, and we can walk together. Turns out that was acceptable to them. They invited me in. Actually, I did the funerals for all the World War II veterans that were left in that group. And when I finally was promoted to the National Office of Chaplaincy. They took me out to eat, and we had pictures taken together. We had a very special ending to our time. So it was beneficial for all of us.
As someone who has talked with a number of people that wrestle with the effects of, you know, all the trauma from military service, you mentioned you served as well. What are some of these traumas, shall we say, that veterans often experience that maybe we don't even, we take it for granted, or we don't understand?
Right. Well, I think the question goes back to what happens in war. And old people in charge of governments make war. They send young people to fight the wars. Those in charge put together codes of conduct. They put together rules of engagement. They put together how to decide when to do what. That doesn't necessarily help the individual soldier or sailor or Marine at the moment of what happens when I start getting shot at. What happens when I'm required to pull the trigger? What happens when things get out of control? So just because you have memorized a rules of engagement doesn't cover the moment that it happens, that it occurs. And it certainly doesn't control the emotions you're left with afterward. Some of the events that I think separate you from with PTSD from moral injury are PTSD is a struggle with fear. You know, I think I'm going to die, or I just watched a friend die, and am I next, or why him and not me? Those kind of things. Moral injury is when you're the driver of a tank and a child with a bomb strapped to them is standing in the road. Do you run over that child, or do you stop and let it blow up and kill the people in the tank with you? That presents a moral dilemma. And for me, a moral dilemma is a spiritual issue, a spiritual injury, where PTSD is more of a fear-based injury. When you struggle with a moral injury or a spiritual injury, there should be a spiritual response. For a number of years, moral injury has been talked about by psychologists and psychiatrists, and many of them have been advocating during that time that this is a spiritual wound, but there have been very few ministers or chaplains who have written about moral injury. And so my book is my effort to be one, I hope, of many ministers who can come, and particularly my book is focused towards the clergy in local churches to say, you have the answer. You have Christ. You have a way of helping somebody come back from a moral injury and to live a life valuable to the community, rather than them spiraling down emotionally and struggling with the things they've done. You know, I had in that group once, I had one of the members say, well, you know, chap, we know you are going to heaven, but with the things that we've done, that I've done, I don't see any way I'll ever make it to heaven. How do we walk with somebody with that kind of guilt to know what we know, that Christ died for all of us, that he can restore and renew? If we give him a chance, if we accept the forgiveness he offers, that we can get a renewed life in him. And so in the book, I talk about different examples of those kind of things with some of our church fathers, who were, many of them were military, that did suffer in war that caused spiritual injury, and their restoration was this work that they did for Christ that ended up being called sainthood.
My guest today is James Taylor. He is the current Florida Department Chaplain for Disabled American Veterans and author of Moral Injury, Arming Pastors to Help Veterans Battle Soul Wounds Caused by Military Service. I wonder whether or not we as a culture, or are we just calloused or something? Because you mentioned dilemmas that wound our souls. And I guess if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe cause us even to question, wow, can Jesus even save me after something like this? I don't know. I would have a hard time thinking like, wow, could that really, we say all's fair in love and war. Like some of these events, I understand how it could have like a physiological effect on, you know, you mentioned PTSD. I guess, what do we as the citizenry not understand about the reality of spiritual wounds?
Great question. My life has been on focus on military. My book is on military. But I think that this soul wounding is not limited to just military. It's like the growth of PTSD over the years. You know, it started out as a military wound, and now it encompasses all of society. We find where it's reality there. And I think that's true of moral injury as well, in that many of the pastors that I've had opportunity to share these concepts with say, I can see where I can use this for many people in my church, you know, that are struggling with things in their past that hinder their spiritual growth, that hinder their walk with growing in discipleship. They may accept that God loves them and that by accepting Christ as their Savior, they're saved, but they're only barely getting in the gate, in their opinion. Discipleship, I think, is for helping us to grow beyond that initial orientation or that initial belief and acceptance of what Christ did for us. Because I also believe wholeheartedly that Christ, as fully being man, suffered everything that we suffer. So that means I believe that Christ suffered moral injury, both in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. Yeah, there was the horror of how they crucified him and the physicalness of all of that. But if you think of a perfect man who takes all sin on himself all at once, that's an overwhelming moral injury. That's a soul wounding event. Christ suffered that. And when God was quiet, God didn't necessarily turn away from Christ, but he was silent when Christ became sin, when he became sin, all sin, and then died and was resurrected as the perfect Savior. But if we can help folks understand that God understands, that God knows, God trust, then that makes the value both of the person you're trying to help and we as ministers to feel like we have the value to provide that help. Rather than, you know, I've always said that ministers respect their veterans, they care for their veterans, but they don't know what to do with their veterans. And so it's more than just saying, well, go see if somebody at the VA can help you. With a spiritual wound, that's not what should happen. But I respect the fact that pastors don't necessarily understand military life. They don't understand what it means that military changes a person. It makes them somebody different, somebody that lives according to certain codes. But then when they do something or they observe something that violates all of those codes, what do they have left? After they've committed themselves totally to these codes, how do they then come back from that? Well, I think that we have that answer because Christ can offer a greater value-based life, a restoration, not back to where they were, but beyond where they were, to a greater life, as exemplified in these church fathers or in people like David. He was a man after God's own heart. I think that means that he was somebody who was trusted in God enough to strive to be a man like God's own heart. Not that he had achieved it, but he has strived for it. If we can help military folks suffering with a soul wound to say, I can move forward. I can move beyond this dilemma that is destroying my marriage, destroying my life, destroying my work, trying to find a job that ministers can help if they understand.
I find it interesting. You mentioned, you know, we love, we respect our veterans, but sometimes we just don't know, really know what to do with them. Is it simplistic to suggest we preach the gospel to them? Or maybe that needs to be approached a different way since they have these unique wounds. How do we as churches approach these veterans?
It requires going beyond just preaching the gospel, because in many cases, those who come to church who were military have heard the gospel when they were children. How do they move beyond that? And that's a whole different topic, I think, in the sense that Christ talked a lot about making disciples. He didn't necessarily talk that much about saving the individual soul. He talked about making disciples, and I think that those are two different, very different things. We spend a lot of time trying to increase numbers, bring new people in, and get them saved through Jesus Christ, which is wonderful. But what do we do day two? And that's where we care for soul wounded folks, whether they be military folks, which is my personal focus, or if it be policemen or firemen or medical personnel who are dedicated to save lives and can't, or even people who get caught up in drugs and alcohol and do things that go against who they were when they were younger, but don't know how to get out of it. And they end up in programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, and those are very spiritual-based organizations. How do they grow? How do they move forward in that walk to give them a new set of values in life that they can use to hold up as a shield against the temptations of the evil one to revert back to a drug or an alcohol or those kind of things?
We don't often really talk about our vets, and maybe we just let the VA take care of them. And so we talk about them at Memorial Day, we talk about them at Veterans Day, but then largely throughout the year, we kind of just forget about them. How can the churches be more present in that space and learn more and talk about our veterans and prepare themselves to disciple them effectively?
Your question is right on the mark, in the sense that we need to have some way of reminding ourselves as well as advocating or inviting the veteran. In my book, I start with the pastor. How do you prepare yourself for doing ministry to a veteran? How do you prepare yourself to be a listener? Pastors will say, well, I know how to listen. Okay, but do you know how to listen to yourself and the emotions that listening to the stories of a veteran might stir up? Do you know how to listen to the trauma that veteran has experienced because of some horrific event that he was a part of, whether he was the actual performer of that horrible event, or that he watched somebody else do it, or he was ordered to do something that was unfathomable to him? Do you know how to listen to those stories? Do you know how to listen in the midst of listening to yourself and the veteran? Do you know how to listen to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you in that transition time, and then to offer a way for them to, knowing that in a military mindset, they feel they have violated these core values that they dedicated their life to? How do you offer a greater value? And that's not just salvation. You know, it's not just preaching the gospel. It's preaching inside the gospel about forgiveness and restoration and those kind of things that Christ talked about constantly.
I've heard you say, as we're, you know, hoping to disciple morally wounded veterans, listening can be good. You mentioned, you know, helping them understand a larger value than, you know, the ones that they think that they have violated based on the choices that they've had to make. So take that just a little.
What is the nuts and bolts of what the church can do? Is that kind
right
of
on the
question?
Money.
I would say you want to get your veteran involved in the church. You reach out to them in the sense that they have been trained to accomplish a task. It doesn't matter how hard the task is, they're there to do it. So if you have veterans, put them in charge of something, whether it's the parking lots or whether it's the greeters or whether it's going to the single mom's house and doing repairs. Find tasks for those veterans. They're proactive people. Next, have a closed group for veterans so that they can develop together, so they can grow together. I've been a part of one for over 10 years, and I've watched folks who have lost multiple jobs because of they can't control their emotions to where they are pillars in the community now because they had people they trust to be able to share stories that are not acceptable in proper society. And you as a minister would be the one who is encouraging the leader of that group, because the pastor shouldn't be the leader. He may, in some cases, like myself, be allowed into the group and be a participant in the group. It should be one of the veterans who leads the group. And then you grow and cultivate that leader, and he grows and cultivates the group so that they have the freedom to continue to talk about things they need to talk about, to be encouraged, be restored, be renewed, forgiven, reconciled with God and them, and particularly with themselves.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, chaplain and military veteran Dr. Jim Taylor, author of Moral Injury, Arming Pastors to Help Veterans Battle Soul Wounds Caused by Military Service. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Rebecca and Gabe Lyons on Building a Marriage That Thrives.
But I would just be gentle, right? A soft answer turns away wrath. So be gentle in the way you kind of have a conversation, and then go, hey, it seems like this is something you don't maybe want to talk about. Do you know why that is? And just try to be a journalist at that point. Try to be as objective as you possibly can and not overreact to anything that's said, because you are trying to build trust again that says, hey, I want to be someone that you can confide in without me getting mad at you or blaming you for what you're saying.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.